has for us. Come with me, first of all, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I was so happy to hear our sister mention about she was so pleased when she was told to launch out, as it were, and to really focus on the Lord. Because really, that's exactly what I'll be looking at this morning. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses..." Can you see the witnesses, folks? Have you ever seen the witnesses? There's a great cloud of witnesses. And if you have an appreciation of church history, you can see the cloud of witnesses there. You can hear the voices of those witnesses echoing through the ages, calling us, saying, "Go on, yes, you're doing well. Go on, do it, go on, go on. Do that for Jesus. Yes, we can see. Yes, you're doing it. That's it. Go on." Just like in a stadium, an arena, let's say where the Olympics would take place, and the nationalities are all competing. And the nationality, let's say it's the British nationality, and everyone's cheering them on. "Go on, run, 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 run for victory." And Paul tells us, doesn't he? Yes, we're to run. We're to run as if we are to win the prize. We run in such a way that you win the prize. And we're being cheered on. But you know, they're not cheering on for Great Britain. They're not cheering on for our nationality, whatever nationality you might have. But they're cheering on for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are citizens of his kingdom. And if you're a citizen of his kingdom, they're cheering you on. They're the saints that have gone in the past, and their voices are echoing down the ages. Can you hear the voices, my friends? Those voices are echoing down the ages. They're saying, "Go on, Daniela. Go on, Daniela. Preach like that. Go on, Daniela. Preach that. Go on, Pastor David, go on in prayer. Enter into that prayer closet. Go on. Go on, Pastor Dennis, Pastor Beverly. Go on. Going into that home, preaching the gospel. Not being discouraged. Go on, do it. Go on." Those voices are calling us on, supporting us on. "Go on, Brother Gajon. Go on, Saturday morning. Go on. Go out with your tracts. Go on." "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Lay aside sin. You know, my friends, it's very important that we examine our lives. Jesus said to someone, you know, after he'd healed them, "Go and sin no more, or else something else worse will come on you." That's strange, isn't it? Jesus connected sin with sickness. As some people would say, "Oh, well, that was pre the cross, pre New Testament in that sense." It doesn't work for various reasons. I won't go into them now, but if you're interested, if that's your theory, you come and talk with me, I'll explain. Jesus connected sin with sickness. Now, you've got to be careful. You've got to say, look, there's no condemnation. I don't want anyone to feel condemned, but I do want people to examine themselves. Examine yourself, not to condemnation, but to ensure that we lay aside the sin which so easily does beset us. Lay it aside. Have nothing to do with it. I like what Romans says. Romans says we're dead to sin. Let's be dead to sin. You know, I find so easily we can go go into, drift into our fleshy selves. And so this is why it's so important that we live a disciplined life. If I live with the parameters of a discipline that I will live for Jesus in a disciplined way, and I impose discipline on myself, then there's more possibility of me leading that Christian life. If I don't impose discipline on myself, my friends, my flesh won't do it. My flesh gives in very easily. This week I went to play golf, and it was hot. It was baking hot, son. I mean, it was hot. And I hit some shots that I was so disappointed with myself. I don't play very often. I used to play very well. And when you don't play a lot, you hit some peculiar shots. Well, when I hit those peculiar shots, I tell you, frustration filled my body. And the flesh got a real good feeling. I wanted to smash that club into the ground. I wanted to break it in half. I wanted to wrap it around the back. I got real quick into the flesh. And then I remembered who I was. And I thought, oh, I better be careful. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I've repented for my feelings playing golf. But you know, the truth is, we're fleshy. But let's lay those aside. And let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Run it with patience. What does it mean to run with patience? It means to be disciplined. It means that we're going to run, but we're running in such a way that we know we've got a long race to run. We've got a race. We're not going to grow bored. We're going to be patient, and we're going to run this race. I'm so happy to hear of the ladies that came yesterday. I'm so encouraged by that. And I want to encourage each of you ladies. You came yesterday to support our dear sister. That's lovely. And to have fellowship with one another as a family. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, the church, they're critical. Usually they're the ones who don't put anything in. You know, if you don't put anything in, you're not going to get a load out. In order to get a load out, you've got to put something in. The Lord is saying, well, how much investment have you put in? And if you invested heavily, you're going to get a lot out. That's how it is in the body. God wants us to invest in the body. That's why he's given each one of us gifts. So we run with patience. In other words, we're set on this goal, this race that's before us, the race of our faith. But we're going to run with a certain amount of patience. We're not going to give up easily. If a bad thing happens, if a difficulty occurs, we're not going to give in. Oh, but I've got a blister. I've got this. You don't understand. It was difficult for me. I've got this. Listen, we're running with patience. We're going to get there. We're running with patience. We're not going to lose sight of where we're going. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep on. And God's helping us. God's empowering us. Amen? And then it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice it says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Not looking to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, to look to Jesus would be one thing. You would view him. If I were to look at Pastor David, I look at him, I can view him, I can see him. Picture this scene, though. I've fallen into a ditch, and there's quicksand. And I'm in my neck up with the quicksand right up to here. I'm not going to be looking at him. I'm going to be looking unto him. Can you see the difference? Looking unto him with an expectation, pull me out. That's looking unto someone. And looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the Christian race, the path that we're on is a path where, listen, it's teaching us to look unto Jesus, looking unto him always, always having him like this, looking unto Jesus. Every situation, everywhere I'm going, I'm looking unto Jesus for everything in my life. Come with me into the Gospels as we look at some people who lived this way, looking unto Jesus. Let's go to Luke 5. Luke chapter 5, the call of the first disciples. It says this, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, they were looking unto him. The people pressed upon Jesus. They're looking unto him. To hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, by the fishermen. They were gone from them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets broke. And they reckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the number of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Jesus said to them, launch out into the deep. The problem is, many people, they don't like launching out into the deep. They don't want to go into the deep waters because they've never been there before. Or they've said, well, look, we've tried it. It's not perhaps for us. But when Jesus says it, it's going to be different. And sometimes fear of failure stops people. Sometimes it's the fear of the unknown that stops people. But I've found that Jesus always stretches people. And his sheep hear his voice. And the voice of Jesus is a voice that will often say those words, launch out into the deep. Go into that place that may not be comfortable for you. It may not be obvious for you. It may be a difficult place for you to go to. But nevertheless, Jesus is saying, go to that place. Jesus is saying, launch out into the deep. My friends, I'm wondering what the Lord is saying to us this morning. And I'm believing the Lord is saying to us, you've got to launch out into the deep because there's some fish I want you to catch. It's time to launch out into the deep and catch some fish. And by the way, one ship isn't going to be enough. And when there's two ships, they'll be so full, they'll be sinking. You see, Jesus has got a plan for people, and his plan is a good plan. Amen. 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 When he calls us, it's an interesting thing. You look at this scripture. the blessings are twofold. One, there's the initial physical blessing. There's a physical blessing with God. So there was plenty of fish. I mean, these were businessmen operating their own fishing company. And you know, if you've not been a businessman, perhaps you won't understand it. If you've always been an employee, you don't quite understand this. But as a businessman, you have to pay for everything. You have to buy the equipment. You have to pay the wages. You have to make sure that everything's operating as it should. You've got to have enough cash flow for the business to pay all its bills, meet all its commitments. And then hopefully you're going to have some left over at the end. And that's the reason why many people aren't businessmen. They see all of that and they think, that's not for me, thanks. I'll just take my salary, thank you very much. Well, you know what? Okay, in the short term, maybe it'll be an easier road. Fine. But in the long term, you'd be much better off going down this route. God's calling you to launch out into the deep. Is that for someone who wants to set a business up here this morning? I think it is. Don't be shy. Listen, have courage. Launch out into the deep. But launch out with Jesus. Hear his voice. The world system is such that it wants to keep people limited. But when you go God's way, the limits are taken off. No limits with God. God's way is a way of multiplication upon multiplication upon multiplication. And the blessing here is in the physical. As a businessman, he would have been thrilled. There's enough fish here to pay workers' wages. There's enough fish here for new nets. There's enough fish here for all sorts of things, maybe even a new boat. There's so many fish here. This is such a blessing. The first blessing that happens when we follow the voice of Jesus is it's a physical blessing. It manifests in the physical. But it has a spiritual ramification. Because what we learn in the physical manifests in the spiritual. It has a spiritual impact as well. So yes, lots of fish there. But then Jesus says, listen. He says to them, listen. Beautiful words. Let's read them. He says, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. From henceforth, you will be catchers of men. We've been speaking over the last few weeks about evangelism. I've shared some of the tools of evangelism. You know, we've looked at some of the tracts that are available. We've got some tracts that we've had printed. All sorts of tracts. We've got some checks and all sorts of creative things that we've been looking at. And I see them as little bait on the hook that catches the fish. You see, some people think that fishing involves getting a big club, standing on the edge of a riverbank, and whacking a few. I'm going to get one day. You want to hear the good news? Whack, whack. But fishing, ask a fisherman, ask a skillful fisherman. You examine the fish. Once you've examined the fish, you'll be inclined as to the bait that you need to use in order to catch those fish. Those fish will be attracted to a certain type of bait. Under the Lord's guiding, he gives us the bait. The bait can be a tract. The right tract is like the right bait. This tract for this one, this one for this one, this one for this one. We have the right bait. You take the bait, You give the bait out. The fish bite from the bait. And the Lord leads them into the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
But I've seen some people, they're just sitting on, they're just whacking at the riverbank. Some people, they stand at the riverbank. And they stand at the riverbank and say, oh, I love fishing. I'm all for it. But why haven't you got a rod in your hand? Well, I enjoy watching others. It's not really what I do. I don't do that. I do other things. Well, the Great Commission was for all Christians to go and preach the gospel. Now, we may not all be in the office of an evangelist. You know, there's offices in the church. Not titles, offices. Someone may be an evangelist. And so they're in the office of an evangelist, and they lead evangelism, and they really take on board evangelism. God called them to work as an evangelist. But every one of us has a testimony. Every one of us needs to be equipped with bait so that as we meet people, we can give them that bait. Give them that which would draw them into the kingdom. And if we're not, then we're not involved in fishing. And if we're not involved in fishing, that's quite a serious place for a Christian to be. Christians have been called to be fishers of men. I want to win men and women for Jesus, folks. I want to launch out into the deep. I want to see what God will do as we launch out into the deep with an expectation of what God's going to do. Would you like to do the same? Or should we just stay where we always have been? Should we just, it'll be easier. Maybe we should just stay. Just stay where we are. It'll be easier. Less hassle. No potential difficulties. Or shall we go? Shall we launch out into the deep? I think we should. Launch out into the deep. And you know, a fishing rod is a good thing with the right bait. But how about nets? I like nets. Big nets in deep waters. And we've got plans that involve big nets and deep waters. Praise be to God.
Amen.
So this morning, for our lives, let me say to you this. Launch out into the deep in your own life. It applies to us as a body, but it applies to you as an individual. Why stay safe? Interesting thing with this, that if you read this story, it was when they made a decision, after they made a decision to launch out into the deep, that they had the fish. It was after they'd made that decision. See, Jesus calls people, and people should hear his voice, and he leads them into green pastures. But what happens very often, they say, well, I like it where I am. No. You think you like it where you are. You think you like it better where you are because you've not been to the place where he's calling you. But if you go to the place where he's calling you, you look back and you think that was a very sparse land over there. I'm glad I'm with the lush grass over here. But you see, it takes faith to say, yes, I'm listening to Jesus' voice. I'm listening to his voice. I'm his sheep. I'm going to go out, launch out into the deep, and I'm going to follow and go into the green pastures. And most people, they don't like doing that. They just want to stay where they are and just say, well, I know where I am. And there's an expression in the world, and the world uses it a lot. It's a terrible expression. It's this: better the devil you know. Better the devil you know. And that keeps people trapped right where they are. That's the aim of that expression. Better the devil you know keeps them right where they are. Well, better the Jesus that we know. And he doesn't keep us where we are. With God, it's always moving on, and it's bigger, and it's bigger, and it's growing, and it's more, and it's bigger, and it's bigger, and the earth is spinning on its axis, folks, and the blood in your bodies is moving around your bodies, and food goes into your body, and food comes out of your body, and with God, everything is moving. There's different seasons. Everything in God's universe is moving. It's not stagnant. It's not a stagnant pool of water. It's a river of life. Amen. It's flowing waters. Amen. And with God, there's movement and there's life. And God is calling us to launch out with movement and with life. And let's see what he will do. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Praise God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we worship and honor you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for that which you alone can do. Lord, we want to launch out in our lives. We want to launch out into the deep. We want to launch out into those waters that you've called us to be in. Waters that you've called us, new waters that you've called us to fish in. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the expectation that we have. The expectation of harvest. Expectation of blessing. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. We thank you that that's our blessing. And we thank you, Father God, for what you've started. We commit ourselves to this task, Father. We commit ourselves to launching out, not being safe with our lives, but launching out into deeper waters. Not going down a safe, clear path that we understand and that we're in control of, but launching out into the path of your choice, in the path of your choice that we're not in control of, that you're in control of, that you're in charge of, deeper waters. Oh, Father God, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And we commit ourselves to this today. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and praise you. We commit ourselves to this today because we know what your word has said to us. We know that your word has said to us, spoken to us so clearly. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, praise his name. According to the power that works in us. Father God, we thank you that your power is working in us and that your power is leading us. And we commit ourselves to this today. And with everyone now responding to you, Father God, we give you all the praise, all the worship, all the glory, and all the honor. Have your way, we say. Thy will be done. In and through our lives. Praise be to God. Listen, if you want to respond to God this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning. He's been speaking to you about something that's going on in your life, about launching out into the deep. Maybe there's something, you know what it is. God has spoken to you about it. Listen, you respond to him now. Respond by putting up your hand and say, Lord, that's for me. I'm responding. That is for me. Don't resist him. Just respond to God. Respond to him. God loves it. You know, little children, they respond so easily to their parents. You don't have to coax them. They just respond. You just respond to him because he's done that. He said that to you. It's for you. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we commit ourselves to you. All that you're speaking to our hearts and our minds right now. And we're saying this, Father God, have your way. Thy will be done in and through our lives. Have your way, Lord. We commit ourselves to this that you've given us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.